Spiritual and Archi, Part 2. Two thoughts: from a family to a tribe, from the tribe to the nation. Verse 27 to 31, 1 to 26, 27 to 31. When God's laws are spurned, taken for granted, taken to oblivion, there is spiritual anarchy. As you read the text, you realize what we saw in verse 7. There was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. This morning we were studying in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, how Moses appointed judges in Israel so that there was order and there was God's law that is meted out for every case, for every situation. But here, you notice that there was anarchy in the land. There was no judge that were appointed, no magistrate in the land. So the people did what they liked. It was utter chaos. Might was right. God's law, however, was spurned. But God's law are to be learned. God's law are to be practiced. God's law are to be taught. And this was so when God raised the man Ezra to teach the returnees from Babylonian captivity to build the spiritual life of God's people as the temple in Jerusalem was rebuilt. This was what we went through when we studied the book of Ezra back in 2014. And the key to Ezra's character is a statement in Ezra 7 verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He was a ready scribe in the law of God and thereby qualified to be the instructor of the people in the statutes of God. Ezra 7 verse 6 says, and this Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe. In other words, he was someone who was copying God's law. And scribes in those days spent all their time doing the work. There was no printing press at that time. Everything has to be written. And so the word of God has to be painstakingly kept and written down so that the words of God are not lost from one generation to another. And so the scribe has that particular role of ensuring the propagation, at least of the physical manuscripts. And of course, their role was to learn the word of God as they write. And you would also notice that the kings of Israel were being instructed by God that they are to write a copy of God's law. Every new king is to write a copy of God's law and to read it, study it, so that they may have the fear of God in their hearts. And this Ezra was a ready scribe in the law of Moses. And God, through the king, granted him the request to return to the land to teach the people of God. And you see a contrast here. The Levite in the time of Judges, verse 7, chapter 17 and chapter 18, which we have been studying over the last session and this one, was a hireling. Instead of leading the people of God, he was led by them to fill his belly as a full-time job. There were strict laws governing the life of the priests in Israel that God gave. And here we see how they were spurned. The Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You recall two sons of Aaron died when they went in to the tabernacle drunk. They offered strange fire. And the Lord struck them dead, and that ye may put the difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean, that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And the prophet Malachi also wrote during the time of the divided kingdom when Israel went after idols. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant is with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The truth, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Ezra was a priest by birth and consecration, and he became a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the God of Israel had given. In other words, he studied the Word of God personally. He took time to know God and His Word. It was an inherited office, no doubt. But you see here that there was that consecration that God gave to His people, that His laws would be passed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. And so here you could see how there is the virtue of consecration. The priest was entitled to by God's grace, to minister before God. And he could only minister acceptably when he had done in obedience to the word. And it was impossible that he could teach unless he himself was acquainted with the mind of God. How important it is, isn't it? But in the time of the judges, you would notice that it was not so. The mind of God, the laws of God, were totally neglected. And the priesthood was indeed very corrupt. And as you think about it, well, it was during the time of the divided kingdom. It was during the time of the judges before. It got worse. It got worse. Israel was to be a theocracy. In other words, God rules. But after the book of Judges, at the death of Samuel, they demanded a king. So Israel moved from a theocracy to a monarchy. A monarchy where men rules. And that's where all the problem came. So that by the time they returned from the captivity, Nehemiah made this assessment. He said that, well, the people got what they want. They wanted a king. And how it was evil upon them. And they did not want God to lead. And that's the sad part. They did not want God to be over them. They were in favor of, you know, the glamour and the way of the world. Right? You have a king, someone to look up to, someone to follow, visible, instead of God, who is invisible. And that's the sad part about man's heart, isn't it? We go after the things that we can see, but not the things which, well, speaks for good in the laws of God that you may not be able to see, and which, well, only God can prepare. And this Ezra had prepared his heart, the word of God says in Ezra 7 verse 10, to seek the law of God and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So how did Ezra prepare the service? For service, he first prepared his heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we cannot contain our heart, if our heart is not subdued, if we are unable to do that to ourselves, with ourselves, what good will it be anyway? So our Lord also admonished the scribes in his time. He says in Luke 6, 45 to 47, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And so here, the word of God is to be given, and the word of God is to be followed. What's the use of saying, I follow God, and I do all the things that is right, seem to be right in the sight of men, and yet I do not follow with my heart? For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Isn't it? A good tree will bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree, a corrupt fruit. So E. Dennett said well, preparation of the heart, and this also cometh from the Lord, is everything. Whether for the study of God's word, for prayer, for worship. If the heart is not prepared to seek the Lord, then there is not much accomplishment, isn't it? There's no true communion with God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Let us draw near, the Apostle Paul says, with a true heart, with a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, our hearts are dealt with. We come to Christ and we have our sins dealt with. There is always that self-reproach, condemnation, self-examination. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So the people of God, we are called a nation of priests, isn't it? The people of God are called a nation of priests. We are to represent God to the world, isn't it? An intermediary so that others may know God through our witness. And so with a heart inclined towards God will come obedience. So the heart comes first. And good success. Others who sees will realize the endowment of God upon such a one. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Spiritual maturity here doesn't speak of one who is aged, although, you know, one who is aged maybe have the more opportunity to know God's word, but it's not necessarily the case when we are not growing. So Ezra's exemplary life was not just amongst his own people, but his godliness was appreciated by the king himself. He had a good testimony, as it were, outside the church, right? Not just within the church, but outside the church, within Israel, outside Israel, the people of God show forth a good testimony outside. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The name Ezra means help or assistance. He is indeed a laborer with God. Faithfulness brings God's blessing. God gives us faithful men. What do we mean by faithfulness? Well, we mean integrity, loyalty, steadfastness, dependability, fidelity, and all these things, the word faithfulness. When our Lord comes, he said in the words of Matthew 25:21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." So we are asked this question: are we faithful? Can we be counted on? Ezra was one who could, and God worked through him. Can God count on us? He would not be bent to do his own will, but only the will of his Lord. Proverbs 25 verse 19 says, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth, a foot out of joint." That's very frightening, isn't it? And indeed, the stake is high. Today, there's a serious lack of genuine integrity and faithfulness among men. Men's words seem to mean little today, whether it's a marriage contract, a business contract, treaty between nations. Ezra was a man given over to do the will of God, isn't it? Today, we see the laws, our laws, which we have inherited from the Indian law, came from the British law, and they came from the Roman law and from God's law. There is an underlying historical setting that, and there's an underlying historical goodness. There is a morality that the good laws that comes from God upholds. As we have been studying during our Sunday messages, we would be able to see the heart of God, how God does these things. But when men choose, right, in the state of the situation of progressiveness, to say that we don't need God's law, then we realize that we have taken away the foundation in which lies the fabric and the goodness of a society. And there comes a situation of a breakdown. And, well, here we notice, right, that in the time of Judges, this was the case. Micah's priest was so weak. He embraced the people's idolatry and worshipped the gods concocted by the imagination of the people. So from a tribe, from a family to a tribe, we see here that there was this transition when God's people reject God's rule and demand a king over them instead of God. Israel will soon transit from a theocracy to a monarchy. Samuel will be the last judge of Israel. And we are brought to focus on the tribe of Dan, who has not gotten their inheritance all these years. In those days, there was no king in Israel, verse 1 says, and in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all the inheritance had not fallen among them, unto them among the tribes of Israel. In other words, they have not been able to do what God wanted them to do. And it was a sad thing. And, well, what happened? Well, as you study, you see that they have departed very far away from God. And when man is far away from God, you cannot see much good that will come out of it. And it's a sad thing. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. The enemy overtook them. And in their weakness and desperation, when God was not with them, they fend for themselves. And such a life is indeed a miserable life, as we shall observe here. The children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah to Eshtaol, to spy out, search the land. And when they went, they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and there they lodged. So the link to the narrative was that the spies from the tribe of Dan came to the house of Micah while searching for a place of conquest and settlement. And you notice there was no seeking of the Lord. There was no prayer, no communion, no fellowship with the God of Israel who brought them out of Egypt. So you see that there's a breakage in the link. Broken relationship with God and broken relationship with His laws. Why? Because we haven't been reading our Bible. Somehow we find that it's become very dry. Somehow we find that it's become very monotonous. Somehow we find that it is becoming something that we cannot understand. But it shouldn't be, isn't it? God's law must not be like that. It should be alive in the hearts of God's people, in the life of God's people. But when it is not, we have not been cultivating, developing our spiritual walk, spiritual life, then how can we make progress? How can we make progress? Thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and had hired me, and I'm his priest. So we do what is right in our own sight. Hire our own priest. Anyway, I'm rich. I have the resources. What cannot I do? Wow, that's a very frightening thing, isn't it? And with that, well, man goes about dictating what they want. Even in the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's very sad. And I pray that this will not cause the Church of Jesus Christ to be ensnared. And I pray that God would take away those who would seek to disrupt the peace of God's house. And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Well, they understood that the priest is supposedly still a man of God. And so they asked counsel of him. The counsel coming from a house priest to the spies of an entire tribe. You see how things are upside down. This Matthew Henry observed well. They seem to have a greater opinion of Micah's teraphim than of God's Urim, for they had passed by Shiloh. Shiloh was a place where God's tabernacle is, which they ought to be there. That's where the God's high priest is. But they went to Micah's shabby Levite and sought an oracle from him. And they set them up, Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So instead of going to Shiloh, where they would find God's counsel, they stooped to inquire of Micah's unqualified priest. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eye. The Lord promised us with his word. And Matthew Henry further observed, he betakes himself to his usual method of consulting his teraphim. Whether he himself believed it or not, he humored the things so well that he made them believe that he had an answer from God, encouraging them to go on and assuring them of good success. Go in peace and you shall be safe and may be well, for before the Lord is your way. That is, he approves it. So he tells them, go. Well, our great care should be that our way be such as God approves. And if it be so, we may go in peace. If God cares for us, on him let us cast our care and be satisfied that we cannot miss our way if he goes before us. So if we seek the Lord, of course the Lord will help us. But when we seek God at the wrong place, that's a sad thing. Verse 7. Then the man departed, came to Lachish, and saw the people therein. So when they saw that they could do something with this weak city of Lachish, they dealt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. There was no magistrate in the land that they might put them to shame to anything, and they were far from the Zidonians, and they had no business with any man. A perfect city to conquer, a perfect city to overtake. Right? And they came with their brethren to Zorah and to Astaroth and said to them, let's go. There is this city that is there, a good land. Why don't we do so? And so they appointed 600 men of war, and with their weapons of war, verse 11, they went up and pitched in Kirjath Jearim, Judah, and they called the place Mahane Dan unto this day. And behold, it is behind Kirjath Jearim, and they passed thence unto Mount Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. So 600 warriors sent out to capture the city of Lachish. The irony of the narrative is here. When they came to the house of Micah, they robbed Micah of his idols, and they also hired his priest. They said to him in verse 19, hold thy peace, lay thy hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto the tribes, unto a tribe and a family in Israel? So Micah's priest was hired for a higher pay and a larger congregation. And here we see the employment as a father and as a priest is what Micah offered to the Levite back in Judges 17, verse 10. And Micah said to them, dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levites went in. Christopher Ash said, well, now the spies used the same phrase to outbid him by offering the Levites far more, not just a father and a priest to one man's household, but to an entire tribe. And so here you see, in Israel, the law of God was totally spurned. The law of God was totally taken out. And so they were so happy they were able to overtake the city of Lachish. Right? We say, might is right, not the truth of God. Violence was the way to get their way of the jungle after the fall of men. And Micah was no match for the might of the Danish Danite army. He saw his priests and idols and how it left him. And so when Micah discovers what happened, he tries to gather his own little force to pursue and come to the Danite. But what happened there? You notice here that there was no negotiation. Right? At that time, the people of God are not guided by his law, but the people were guided by their own flesh. It was a fleshly life, a fleshly way. And you would notice that this shrine that was taken was created in Dan or Lachish, after they conquered Lachish in the time of Judges. And it's interesting, it's observed that it was a precursor to the infamous sanctuary that Jeroboam later established when the northern tribe broke away and formed a separate kingdom after the time of David and Solomon. After David and Solomon, you notice that 10 of the tribes defected from Israel in the time of Rehoboam, and Jeroboam set up worship in Dan. Oh, that was one of the places. So instead of the shrine, they built the golden calf. And this is what will happen when the church loses its bearing and men who does not really know God takes over and seeks to do their own will and their own way. And that's a very frightening thing, isn't it? Yeah, and we pray for God's mercy that that evil may be restrained and that God's way, God's will, God's law may prevail in his house. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us for thy Holy, by thy Holy Spirit to be aware of the fallenness that comes when men depart from the word of God. O Lord, may thou be gracious to strengthen thy people, that we may know thy word and do thy holy will. For thy own honor and glory, help us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.